I mean, sure, I was muted.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to StadiaCast. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd, whether you believe me or not. What's going on, Lloyd?
I'm feeling a little lighter today. I chopped off the boreal forest that was the beard on my face, and I feel a lot lighter. Just in time for winter when you want to be cold, I guess. I don't know what I was doing, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that a beard ever made me feel warmer when I was like, because you know the snow hits it and then it kind of sticks to it and makes you even colder, I think, at some point. But anyway. Yeah, Lloyd shaved off his beard and looks young again, so screw him. Let's move on and talk about Stadia, though. This is StadiaCast, and you can tune into the show live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I'm Bill. Like I said, that's Lloyd, and we're here to talk about all things Stadia. We do every morning, 10 a.m., nerdnest.tv. Come hang out with us live. Be a part of the show. We really do appreciate it. If you are here with us live and you want to make sure that your thoughts get heard, use the super chat buttons down below. We respond to all of the super chats at the end of the show and talk about anything that you guys really are sending our way. So thank you everybody who does that or who becomes members or anything like that. Check out all the buttons on YouTube because they do help the show. Let's get started and talk about video games. I'm going to let Lloyd really take over for this part because I played zero games this week. I played for like an hour and a half. I played Phasmophobia, which I always screw up the name of that. I played that, not on Stadia. I just did a quick stream unannounced ahead of time where I was playing with some other friends and I had fun with that game. That's the only video game that I played this week other than I think I may have possibly been able to squeeze in a half an hour of Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous. Again, not on Stadia, but that's all the time that I played video games this week, like 2 hours the entire week. It was, I just didn't have the energy to sit down and play video games. So, Lloyd, you played video games. You wrote down like three of them. What ones?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah. I've been playing a fair bit. It was my daughter's birthday yesterday, so we played just a metric ton of Cruise and Blast, not on Stadia. Man, that game is fun. If you have a Nintendo Switch and you like arcade racers, we played four-player racing for about 3 hours straight. It was just absolutely fantastic. But on Google Stadia, the games that I've been playing a lot of, Merrick's Market, big fan of this game. I was really looking forward to it coming up to launch. I previewed it on Xbox, and then I was able to pick it up and play it on Google Stadia. And my gosh, this game is fun. It's in the vein of Overcooked. So it's kind of a time management slash creation game where people come in and they order stuff, and then you have to make that stuff and give it to them, and then they walk over to pay, and then you have to haggle with them to get the most money that you possibly can. So they've taken kind of the Overcooked thing where make seven hamburgers and things are blowing up and things are on fire, but then they've added the haggling thing to it as well to add a little bit more kind of depth to it. There's even, as you get further in the game, people that come in that don't actually want you to make stuff. They just want to buy like bread or potions.
Can I use your restroom?
yeah. No, you can't have an empty cup for water because you're going to put Pepsi in it. I know you. No, it's none of that stuff. But they come in and they're asking, I want armor or I want bread or I want potion. And these are things that you have pre-made because you are a storefront. It's not a custom order. So you are spending time haggling with them, and then other people are asking for stuff, and it gets incredibly, incredibly crazy. And like all time management games, you're making a chair, and you think someone wants a chair, and then they don't want a chair, so you throw it across the room, and you make the belt that they want, and then you give them the belt, and then someone comes in, they're like, I want a chair, and you're like, I just made a chair, and you go pick it up and give it to them, and then you're making wooden things and pottery and all this stuff all at the same time, and it gets really incredibly crazy. Kodiak is saying like Moonlighter but with crafting. Not really, because there's no going out and like diving in dungeons to get things. You are essentially taking your wood, your leather, your raw materials and crafting them using recipes that you unlock as you make your way through the game. Incredibly fun. It has four-player local co-op that you can play if you want to make things even more insane. And I'm just a huge fan. It's, I think it's $20 on Stadia. It seems to me like there's a lot of content in it, because as you're playing through, you're going through a calendar year. So it things change with the calendar. So different things.
It's
different
dragon things season.
Yeah, like it's it's zany, man. And it has a really great voice acting. And from what I understand, through, I think what the Nerf Report did an interview with the development mm-hmm. team. And they said that because of the Stadia Makers program, they were able to actually get voice acting because of the financial help that Stadia gave them. So big fan of Merrick's Market. If you're looking for a crazy local co-op game that you can play with a significant other or your kids or whatever, what a fantastic game.
So I'm going to play the role of the audience here and ask a couple questions about it, because I have the game. Like I said, I've had no gaming time really to... I did lie. Yesterday, my wife and I played WarioWare for about 30 minutes just so I would have a little bit of background on it to talk about it on Switchcraft. But in Overcooked, the multiplayer aspect, you had to divide up the jobs. So, like, I'm going to cut tomatoes while you cook the meat and you wash the dishes and somebody else is plating things. Is that kind of thing happening in the multiplayer aspect of the market?
I would assume. I haven't gotten that super deep into the calendar, and I haven't played four-player multiplayer, so I haven't seen how crazy things get. Because what it seems to have happened is the more people that are playing, the more crazy customer requests are coming in.
Oh, okay.
So they kind of ramp it up a little bit. From what I understand, or it could just be that I'm playing through the game, so things are getting more difficult and zany as you get through. But yeah, I could see where you'd be doing that, where you'd have someone on kind of like the carpentry bench all the time. It's like, okay, I need a staff, I need a chair. Well, you don't even have to yell it out because they can see the little thought bubbles above people's heads. There's a pottery urn, a kiln in front. I called it an urn, which you make in a kiln, but it's not a kiln. So you have to put like clay in there, and you put coal in there, and you fire up the pottery thing. So yeah, you could definitely have people that are manning the different stations to kind of make stuff and make sure you always have things ready to go so you can keep the customers happy.
And then another thing about Overcooked is that, and that's the, I keep making the comparison because that's what this game reminds me of. You have things that divide the workplace into, so like you're in a kitchen and suddenly the kitchen gets split in half and you can only do a thing on one side of the kitchen.
Or you're on a ship and things slide back and forth, getting in your way constantly.
Is it the same? Are you always in the same workshop, or is your workshop changing each time?
I believe what happens, because I've seen screenshots, it looks like as you progress through the game, your shop gets bigger and bigger and adds more construction elements. And when you're bigger and you have more lines for customers coming in, I think that's when things are going to get insane. And that's when having a lot of people there to help out might be a good thing.
Awesome. All right. So you've also played Life is Strange, True Colors. Yeah. That's definitely one that I want to jump in on. I haven't had a chance to sit down and mess with it. I even think that it's the kind of game that my wife would enjoy, because she 100%. Likes the idea of video games, but doesn't really like the idea. Like, she's not somebody who plays a lot of games. So the complexity of controls, like, as somebody who's been playing games all along, they've slowly gotten more complex. You hand somebody a modern controller and they have, you know, four face buttons, a D-pad, the start button, the select button, the other button, the other button, the middle button, the two sticks that both click in, the two bumpers and two triggers, and now even more buttons on the back. Like, it's kind of bananas that like to ask somebody to start at that level. So the question I asked you, I was like, is this a game that requires a lot of super complicated inputs, or is it more of a, I can play this relaxed?
Yeah, it's definitely a game that is relaxing. Life is Strange is kind of like a, I don't know, I don't want to say spiritual successor because that's not true, but it's kind of like a newer version of kind of the point and click adventure games that you'd have in the past, where you're doing a lot more exploration, a lot of more kind of slow prodding. to kind of make your way through the areas. So there isn't a lot of complex controls to learn. You're basically moving your character with the left analog stick. You're moving the camera with the right analog stick. And then you're really just hitting A, X, and Y to do different prompts. So when you walk up to, say, like a picture on the wall, it'll pop up a prompt. And there'll be like a look, but there might also be Y, pick up a picture. So you're kind of doing things and seeing where the button prompts will bring you. But it's not a fast thing. It's kind of slow. I don't even think there's a run button. So it is very kind of slow and prodding. So I played almost through the first full chapter of Life is Strange. I believe there's 5 chapters. The nice thing with Life is Strange True Colors this time is you don't have to wait for chapter 2 because the original Life is Strange and the sequel, they were all kind of doled out as episodic games. So you'd buy the season pass, you get chapter 1, and then maybe 3 months later or 2 months later, you get chapter 2, and then chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, story's done. But you're waiting like a long time between chapters to kind of finish the story. Life is Strange is still divided into chapters, but all the chapters kind of come at the same time. If you get the deluxe edition, there's a prequel chapter that is included as the deluxe edition or the gold edition, whatever the big bundle is.
Yeah,
that's not out yet. That's coming near the end of this month, so that's the only chapter you have to wait for, but technically it's DLC, so you're waiting for DLC like you normally would. But the game, this, if you haven't played any of the other Life is Strange games, that's cool, because this game completely is focusing on new people. So in the previous games, you always have kind of like a, like your main character always has a secret power to do something. In this one, you have the power to sense and sometimes be taken over by emotions of other people. So you'll be talking to people and they might have like a red aura, and that means they're angry, like really, really angry. Or they will have a purple aura and they're nervous. And that gets into kind of the puzzle solving down the road. You'll come on someone, come up onto an area, and then you'll see someone just kind of sitting there and they have like a purple aura, and it's like, oh, okay, they're nervous or they're sad. How do I fix this? And then you look around your area trying to find things that can help out. The best part about the game is it is fully voice acted, but they mocapped the hell out of it. So they acted and captured it in a video game engine, and you're watching a movie play out. So if anything, this is what I hope Netflix does in the future with their interactive movies that they're working on, where they record 10 hours of dialogue and action and whatever, and then they kind of stitch together with another 10 hours of kind of like gameplay-y stuff. That's similar to what Life is Strange is. The voice acting is just amazing. Like, the people in the game feel more like buddies that you're talking to or hanging out with than just like your normal video gamey like out of context clip that would come up through voice acting and stuff like that. So I am really, really, really enjoying Life is Strange True Colors. I wanted to play through most of the game this week. I got tied up with some other things. It's my daughter's birthday this weekend, so we're spending a lot of time doing family things, so I didn't get enough time. I think that's going to be my game for today. I believe it's around 12 to 15 hours to complete it. They're not long games.
I like that.
But the story is just like, there's few series that I've played where the stories have touched me more in playing all the Life is Strange games. Like, you finish the game and you feel like you've gone through an emotional journey. It looks like this one is going to be the exact same thing. So I'm really, really looking forward to beating the game, completing all of the challenges. There's items that you can find in each chapter. So you can go achievement hunt if you want. You don't have to. You can just mainline the game and just have your conversations with your estranged brother and his friends and his girlfriend and all the other crazy people that are in the town. Or you can do the completionist stuff with this as well. So I'm looking forward to making my way through and finishing it. I wanted to do a first look, but this game has
story driven.
Yeah, well, it's there's that, but it's also licensed music, kind of crazy. And they have a streamer mode, so you can turn streamer mode on. But one of the early scenes in the game, you're basically playing the guitar with your brother, and if you have streamer mode turned on, there's no music, so they're just like,
So they, rather than replace the music with like the generic
the Foley is there, so you hear and you hear like squeaking shoes. But they're just like,
that's funny,
like this, and I'm like, okay, that is too cringy for me. I don't know if I could stream that without looking like a fool. So yeah, anyway, Life is Strange True Colors, a day and date on Stadia. It performs amazingly well on Stadia. When I first started, there was some hitching. So when I turned the camera, the game would like pause for a half second and then go in. And I'm like, oh my God, is this just a bad port? Is this the game? Is the game like this? It's only for me, it was only happening in the intro area. And from what I understand, talking to a buddy, it happened to him on another console as well. So I think that's just kind of like the engine loading stuff in, not so much the Stadia port of this game. But anyway, Life is Strange True Colors, if you're looking for an emotional story that kind of takes you on a bit of a journey, this might be a great game to check out.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that it's been on my list for ages, the Life is Strange series. I for those of you that don't know, I have another show, a podcast called 143 Pixels, and I have people come on the show and we talk about their favorite game. Like Lloyd came on forever ago and we talked about Skyrim. I had someone come on and they talked about Life is Strange. And so I had episode one, like through, I think either it's just straight up free or like I had gotten it through Humble Bundle or something. And I loaded it up so I could capture the beginning of the game so that I could put that in the podcast. And wow, the music is really, like, the music in the game is really, really good. Of course, now I understand why. It's licensed music. It's not like, you know, we paid somebody to go record this in their garage or somebody's using GarageBand on their iPad in order to make this happen because that's what they have to do because the budgets are tight.
Right.
Like, the music was really good and the voice acting was really good and everything about that intro was really good, and I never continued to play because I just didn't have time. Not like I have more time now, but I definitely want to jump in there. And I'm struggling. I'm really, really struggling between, I know you said I don't need to play the original.
Yeah.
But I feel like I should. You know what I mean? I feel like I should skip the new one and go back, especially since I already own episode one or whatever. Anyway, I'm interested in. Speaking of games that have like sequels and all of this stuff, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, you couldn't resist. I thought you already had this.
I do on multiple consoles. back to Life is Strange first for a second. The remastered collection is coming to Stadia. That one was delayed to later this year, I believe.
I forgot.
Don't I remember correctly saying that the remastered collection was going to launch in a pro or something, or was going to be a huge discount on Stadia? Like, there's something there. I'll have to look into that. I don't think it's going to launch right into pro anymore. Maybe that wasn't what was said about it, but yeah, it is going to be coming to Stadia. So if you are going to want to play the game one and game two, I believe you just have to buy the Ultimate Edition, of Life is Strange, and then you'll get all three games essentially. Or if you just bought Life is Strange the regular edition, you'll be able to buy remastered collection separately, and that will give you Life is Strange 1 and Life is Strange 2 that you'll be able to play on Stadia. But that is being delayed. I'm just trying to see. I think it was being delayed till December, but I'm trying to pull up an article and it's not working, because why would things work really good when you're live on the air and trying to get things done in a great time.
I will say that when we record, like yesterday, we recorded early on deck, and it's so much easier when you don't have to do things live. Go ahead.
Exactly. early 2022 is what they say. So at the very least, you'll be able to complete or start the story early 2022. So whether you play number three first or play one and two, there really is no... It's not a true sequel. Like, there's really no part of the story that is brought through one, two, and three, except for maybe I haven't beat it. So maybe they talk about kind of your powers, because every game. Yeah, Jem is saying so. Life is Strange 1 and 2 is coming to Stadia Pro. There we are. So I was right there. I don't know. Google Foo is not working for me today. I gotta retest my black belt, I guess.
It's difficult when you're talking and doing a thing at the same time. This happens to me all the time at work. Like, I'll be giving out things to my students, and I'll be explaining what we're going to do with these things. And in the at the same time, I'm like, all right, there's four in this row. So 1, 2, 3, 4, there's six in this row. And then inevitably I get to the end and they're like, hey, I need another one. Or you gave us four of them and we only have one student here. What are you doing? Like talking and doing things at the same time is tough. So we'll let it slide, Lloyd. All right.
Awesome. So anyway,
go ahead. Back to what you asked before.
It's
pirate.
Yar. I shaved my beard though. I don't have a pirate beard anymore. So, that's fine. I guess I can't play.
Would have been a
anymore.
Good stream.
It would have. I wanted to stream Valhalla with a Viking beard, but I didn't. All the things I missed out on, Bill. Just terrible. Anyway, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I picked this up mainly because the community was reporting that it was 4K 60, and I'm like, what? No Assassin's Creed on Stadia are 4K 60 because they're using older engines. They're not 4K 60 pretty much anywhere. Booted in, and holy crap, does the game look really good running on Google Stadia. I've beaten Black Flag on, I believe I played it originally on the PlayStation 3, I want to say. Was it the 3 that it came out on? And then the port, the next-gen version, what you could play it again on PlayStation 4, I think is how this worked. Anyway, I've played it multiple times.
I want to interrupt. So it was originally from Xbox 360, PS3 era.
Yeah.
And then they did a remake for Black Flag?
Well, no, there was kind of like the next gen version, like the cross-buy version.
Oh, okay. So it was like a cross-buy. Was it upgraded?
Yeah. A little bit. Not as much as you would think like a remaster would be upgraded, but it was so you could play it on your PlayStation 4, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it came on PS3 and then so I played it on PS3 and then I played it again on PlayStation 4. I've only beaten it once. But it is a really good story. And if you like kind of pirate shanties and sailing and the whole pirate motif of entertainment, Black Flag is probably the best Assassin's Creed for you. It is really, really good. The game looks and performs amazingly well. I didn't believe it at first when people were talking about it. I was just like, you know, your eyes are lying to you. But when I boot up and started playing it, it looks really damn good. So if you've missed this game, but you like pirates and you like a really good Assassin's Creed story, this is one of kind of the crazy Assassin's Creeds where you're in and out of kind of the real world and the simulation when you're playing it. It's fantastic. Really, really good. And if you get the deluxe edition, it's on sale for like less than $20, and you get all of the DLC, including the standalone expansion, which I'm blanking on the name of it right now. But anyway, you get a bunch of content included in it, and it was really good.
So, okay, I'm going to ask a question. So this game is originally a PS3 game. You just said that the PS4 version wasn't really all that big of an upgrade. And now it's running at 4K 60. Is it running with, like, did they update the textures and stuff? Does it look really, like, you know what I mean? Because I can film, my camera's a 1080p camera. I can upscale that to 4K. It's not going to look any better. Yep. So, like, I'm curious about that. Is it upscaled or did they, like, what are they doing here?
Well, it looks like there might be some of the textures have been redone. But usually with, like, a lot of modern games, they use higher resolution textures than they really need because they don't want any sort of lossiness or whatever. This game looks like maybe they've had to have updated the engine to have the geometry at 4K, and then they have to have the textures kind of cover that geometry, and they had to do it in such a way that it doesn't look bad. I haven't seen any kind of like jank from it at all. It looks really, really good. It doesn't look blurry. Like you're not walking past a building and the textures are all muddy, even though they're like super, super crisp, but muddy at the same time. Like the weird thing you get sometimes with remasters where like the building looks fantastic, but it looks like it's like coated in Vaseline and mud. I didn't see any of that, but granted, I popped in for about 15 minutes just to see how good it looked on Stadia. And then I was like, I got other games to play. I had to bounce right out of it. So
everybody on Twitter was going on and on about how great it looked. So I was like, all right, it probably looks pretty great. Now, I didn't buy it, but that's only because I have a billion games to play and zero time to play them. So that's why I didn't buy it, even though I heard it's really, really cheap. I did see some people complaining about Ubisoft Plus not having it for, I don't know, it was like for a little bit, and
it's like 3 hours at launch or something.
But the thing is like Ubisoft's response was so just bad. They were like, yeah, we don't have anything to announce at this time. So people had no idea if it was coming to Stadia. And then 3 hours later, it was on Stadia through Ubisoft Plus.
Right.
Why wouldn't they just say, technical hiccup, it'll be there shortly. Don't worry, we got you covered. Yeah, instead, they're like, yeah, we don't have anything to say right now.
To be fair, I was hoping to set you up for that. How many problems did people have with kind of like Stadia's account early on, where a game was supposed to launch today and people would ask, where's the game? And then the response would be, oh, we have nothing to announce on that right now, but stay tuned into our social media accounts and we'll let you know just as soon as we have news. Mm-hmm. Because that's just the canned response from support. I went through 6 tickets with Ubisoft support trying to get my Ubisoft Connect problem fixed, where Ubisoft Connect didn't work on Stadia at all. I'd be in Assassin's Creed Valhalla on Stadia. I try to bring up my Ubisoft Connect thing. That's to get like in-game elements and things. You get experience for playing Ubisoft games, and you could spend those coins on things. Couldn't boot it on Stadia. Would go to my Xbox Series X. I could boot it fine. So obviously my account wasn't screwed up from a hole, but something to do with the account linking. I talked to Stadia support. They said it's Ubisoft. I went through 6 tickets with Ubisoft, and they said it's Stadia. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I'll just use my Xbox to get the little trinkets and not worry about it on Stadia. And then like 2 months later, it just started working. So yeah, tier one support often doesn't know much of anything because they're just clicking a couple buttons to do the canned responses.
You're right about that. I just find it ridiculous. Like, and it doesn't bother me at all that it didn't show up right away. What bothers me is that they were just like, yeah, we're not going to tell you that it's on the way. And you're right. It's level zero support or whatever. Like, they really don't know anything. They have canned responses. They're not going to, and maybe they turn around and ask somebody, and then they get an answer 5-6 hours later. So you're right about that. I just think, man, it wasn't a good look for Ubisoft to have that. All right, let's move on and talk about the news. We've got a This Week in Stadia, and I just realized I have not fixed every week. I have to make OBS re-recognize Chrome. So I'm going to do that right now. And let me fix that. Why don't you tell people about This Week in Stadia while I fix things?
Yeah, so this is a good week on Stadia. We got a bunch of games stealth dropped that we didn't know were coming, including one that was a free demo. So let's get into it. At first, the first thing to talk about is what we just finished talking about, and that is Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag is on Stadia. You can pick it up for $29.99, but if you're pro, there's some sales on that right now. So definitely check that out if you're interested in Black Flag. But then, Bill, they go right into another game based on or the sequel to the game that was just added to Pro, and that is Darksiders 3. Like, a week later, we find out another Darksiders game is coming out, and it's number 3. That kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, and it's definitely a game that I want to play the Darksiders game every time that somebody tells me it's Zelda but for grown-ups. First off, Zelda's for grown-ups. Secondly, yeah, when you compare a game to Zelda, you definitely have my attention. So,
yeah,
this is a game that I want to play. I loved Darksiders. I hate the name of it though, cuz I can never remember.
Genesis.
Yeah. I love Darksiders Genesis. That game was super, super fun. And to have a game where instead of having a top-down perspective, it's more of a third-person perspective is definitely something that I'm interested in. So Darksiders 3 is a game that I want to play. I don't know if I'm going to throw $30 at it, not because I don't think it's worth $30, but because time versus games. And I have plenty of games to play and not enough time to play them, but this looks really, really good too. Like, the action looks fantastic. You've played this one, right?
Yeah, I've played all the Darksiders. I think I've only beat the first one though, or maybe I only beat the second one. I don't think I completed the first one or the third one. Played them I think mainly on my Nintendo Switch, if I remember correctly. Really great series. They are kind of like a dark and more mature Zelda game where you're going through dungeons, kind of. You need powers from these end boss battles to then get further and defeat other bosses. So it's kind of like old school RPG tropes, but with a really, really amazing story where you kind of, in the first game, you don't really care much about the kind of, I don't know, Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
And yeah, but Mark Hamill's in that one, so.
Right. And then you get into the second one and then the third one, and you really start to like these characters that you're supposed to hate and stuff like that. Yeah, it is a fantastic game and definitely worth playing if you haven't already. The full Darksiders series, definitely worth playing if you haven't already.
There you go. Hey, Stadia, get a hold of, who makes this, THQ?
THQ, yeah.
Yeah, get a hold of THQ and get them to do a bundle over here on Stadia with every Darksiders game. It'll That'd sell. It will sell. Absolutely. All right. Then we've got Marik's Market. And then from which we spent plenty of time talking about. I wish I'd have brought this up while we were talking about it so people could look at it instead of looking at your bald face. From Space multiplayer demo. Did you play that?
I haven't. This was one game that I was like, okay, I'm playing this tonight for sure, right when it launched, because this is kind of the spiritual successor to It Came from Space and Ate Our Brains. Right. But this is an online multiplayer dual stick shooter. And then I haven't played it yet. I got to play this right after recording the show because I'm super interested in after D&D. Yeah, after D&D. I'm a big fan of the development team that makes this game. I like their games. I like the kind of whimsy that they kind of bake into their titles. And this looks like it's going to be a dual stick shooter, Diablo-esque ARPG sort of game. Yep. Please, I want to play this game really, really bad. And there's no reason to not play it because the demo is free. Except I didn't play it, so I don't know what I have to say about that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to play this as well. Maybe you and I should do a, because it's a multiplayer demo, we should do like a first look multiplayer video, something like that. I love the lighting in this. It seems like the characters are being surrounded by monsters coming at them from the dark, and they have flashlights, which means that they're casting all kinds of shadows. And then on top of that, there's a lot of things that are like glowing pink neon, which I don't know if you guys are aware, but Lloyd and I are fans of pink and blue neon. like it's a very 80s vibe. And so we're always interested, like that kind of thing always catches my attention. Definitely a game that I want to check out. It looks really, really cool.
I don't know what you're talking about, blue and pink neon, Bill. I don't know.
All right. Then you can also get Dead by Daylight. It's on sale right now for standard edition is $9.99. I would have told you avoid this game until I played it. Like I looked at it and I was like, ah, it looks stupid. I'm not interested. And then I think it was a pro game at one point, right? Mm-hmm. Is that how I had it? I didn't buy it.
Yeah, it was pro, and then they had the, I can't remember what the name of the deal was, but it came with like a crap ton of DLC and a bunch of the blood points and stuff. You could buy for like $5 or something crazy when it launched.
That game is so good, though. Like, it really is really fun, and I don't like the screams, I don't like the gore. But the moment-to-moment gameplay of trying to hide from somebody, from something that's hunting you down, and admittedly, I haven't played lots of it, but if you sit down and play it with some friends, you are going to have fun. It's a really, really fun game. So I think, especially if you're on voice chat with your friends, and then they can laugh when they kill you. It's a fun game, so make sure that you check that out. All right.
Awesome.
That was posted from Google on Zoop, Zoop, Zoop. That was on the 14th that they posted that. And then on the 16th, which was 3 days ago, they posted this about the Falconeer. You want to tell people about the Falconeer, Lloyd?
Man, I'm really excited to play this on Stadia. Falconeer is a dogfighting game where you play as a falcon that fires guns.
You're riding a falcon.
Yeah, but you don't really see a rider on it. I think the Falcon is kind of the star of the show here. I played this game on Xbox Series when I got it because this was one of the few games that at launch that was I don't know, made for the Xbox Series.
X compatible thing.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to see how good the game could look on a modern console, and it looked absolutely breathtaking. And then I didn't really play much more of it because I play mostly on Stadia. If you haven't heard already, there's this great service called Google Stadia where you could stream your games from the cloud. You don't have to install them locally. It's fantastic. I've been playing most of my games that way. And Falconeer coming to Google Stadia makes me very excited because this game looks and performs just amazingly well. And I want to play it. And this is the Warrior Edition, so it comes with like all of the content and a bunch of additional things that are going to be included here, including new weapons, new capabilities, burst guided rocket or the shock lance, new mounts, new stuff like that. So yeah, I'm very interested. And yeah, it looks like one of the mounts is like a pterodactyl. I kind of want to play as a pterodactyl.
Hell yeah. This looks really, really fantastic. I kind of ignored it until this morning when I was sitting down and putting show notes together. Man, it's so beautiful. The animations as you're flying around are just like when your Falcon turns and changes directions, that animation is amazing. When they their barrel roll just awesome. And they say right here, it says Falconeer was built from the ground up to be played at 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
So it's a 60 FPS game. Go ahead.
They're doing, I think, a dev blog on a lot of this stuff. So they're updating people kind of how it's looking. I don't know if anybody out there listening to this has ever played this game. Back on the original OG Xbox, there was a game called Crimson Skies. And it was really one of the first big Xbox Live games that wasn't Halo. And it was basically a dogfighting game with like jet-powered biplanes. It was kind of a weird thing, kind of like a future Neo version of like the Red Baron versus all the other people type thing. This game reminds me so much of that. I had ridiculous fun playing Crimson Skies, and Falconeer reminds me of a lot of those feelings. Like the sailing through the air just feels right. Like the control that you have over your little bird, whatever, or your flying character of whatever sort it is, depending on what unlocks you have, I guess, it just feels right. There's no kind of like lag to targeting. Like you have a lot of control over the camera. Like they did an aerial dogfight engine the perfect way. Like it performs really, really well. So I'm really looking forward to jumping to this on Google Stadia when it launches. On what is it, October 5th? I think so. October 5th. Yeah. October 5th.
This is a genre that is sorely underrepresented in modern gaming. Dogfight games. I remember, like, when I was looking at this, the game that I thought of, and you're gonna laugh because it's so old, was Red Baron on the Atari Lynx. My friend had an Atari Lynx, and we would go over to his house, and he would let me play the Red Baron while he was playing Wolfenstein on his, because he had everything. it was like, that's the game that I think it was probably the first dogfighting game that I ever played. And then of course, you know, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, or X-Wing and then TIE Fighter and then X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. And then the genre just, and Wing Commander, but then the genre just disappeared. And nobody makes them anymore. And I think that there were a couple of indie games that came to the Nintendo Switch, which were really fun, but they didn't hold my attention for more than, I'd say, I don't know, 6 hours or so. I had fun with them, but this looks fantastic. I love the setting. I love the way that the game looks. So it's definitely something that is on my radar. And anything where you can fly around on a pterosaur, yes, please. Yes, please.
100%. 100%. Yeah, I'm just a big fan of this game. So seeing the announcement, and it was actually announced by the developers. They tweeted out about it first before it was on a Google blog or anything. So maybe we're done with Google being the only company announcing that games are coming to the service. Maybe. Fingers crossed. But yeah, this is going to be a great one when it launches October 5th.
There you go. All right. This one. Get your skeptical hats on, everybody. All right.
Right.
Because this one is about VR and the cloud. And I mean, I'm skeptical, but at the same time, like, okay, I'm going to rewind to before I got my hands on Stadia. Like, so October of 2019, October of 2019, I'm sitting there and Lloyd and I are doing a podcast and we're like, boy, oh boy, I hope the latency is good enough. I hope that it feels like you're playing on a local system. And over we were skeptical. And then we were very surprised when it happened and we got it. And it feels like you're playing on a local system. And back then, you know, people were talking about, look, the biggest impediment to getting VR is having hardware powerful enough to run it. So why not run it from the cloud? And of course, everybody, you know, myself and Lloyd included, we always respond with, well, that's not really going to work because if the latency is too high, it says that I'm disconnected, reconnected, so successful. Okay. We're back. If you missed that part, go and check out the audio part of the podcast. I was talking about a little bit of history with Stadia. OBS dropped the ball for a second. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So here's the issue with VR is that if the latency is too high, you will get severe motion sickness because it's just like being on a boat. The thing that's going on with your inner ear and the thing that's happening with your eyes are telling you two different things. Well, when you turn your head, the things in your inner ear, they do what they're supposed to do. If the computer has to figure out what you're looking at and then update afterwards, it can give you that seasick feeling. It's exactly right. Like being on a boat. So if you are susceptible to that, which I get motion sickness riding in a car. So like I'm worried about that. I was very skeptical of VR until I tried my son's Oculus Quest 2, which is amazing. And I no problems with that at all. This seems unlikely. You want to tell people what this article's saying, Lloyd?
Yeah, so Google Stadia is hiring for a couple different positions. They're looking for staff software developer, developer service for Stadia, engineering manager, client software development kit for Stadia, engineering manager front end for Stadia, and engineering manager Stadia discovery for Stadia. So those jobs just look like normal jobs. They're staffing up or whatever. But in their preferred qualifications section of the job listings, they want people with VR experience, which is very, very exciting. The thing with VR, and you hit it perfect, Bill. If you start dropping frame rate, basically your motion of your head is tied to the frame rate because it can only update the visual in your eyeballs once every like 60 times a second or 30 times a second or 90 times a second, depending on what you're using. So when you move your head, you expect your brain gets tricked into thinking that it's seeing what it's seeing. So when you move your head, your brain expects everything to move like it normally would if you're in the normal world. As soon as you have like a frame hitch and you move your head, but the picture stays what you saw here, you start getting issues. And some people are really susceptible to it. Some people aren't. Ever since I had a concussion, I'm incredibly susceptible to VR motion sickness. I think it has to do with the crystals in my ears. They all got thrown around when I smacked my head and had a concussion. So now I have inner ear issues and I get vertigo every once in a while just from like getting up from bed sometimes because of my concussion. So having VR there and having the visual not update when I move my head makes me almost instantaneously nauseous where I want to go lay down in like a fetal position. So I'm really, really nervous about the thought of streaming a game to my headset that is updating not only the visual coming to me at 90 frames a second, but accepting those inputs at 90 frames a second that it's not going to make me puke. Yeah. I know I played a lot of PlayStation VR and you were very hardware limited in that regards. Like if your PlayStation crapped out, you weren't getting 90 frames a second. I was playing one shooter once with my buddy Will, and we were shooting at each other, and all of a sudden my game crashed, and I basically went into a world where it was like a bubble world because of the way that the game crashed, and I wanted to rip my headset off so fast because I was gonna Ralph all over the place. So I'm really nervous at the thought of a VR headset coming out for Stadia just because of nausea, and all the articles are going to pop up of people saying I had an internet blip and now I puked all over my new hardware. But hopefully it works. Like this is like cloud gaming is the future. And for a lot of people, VR gaming is the future. At some point, there is going to be the confluence of both of them coming together to an area where the technology and the internet speeds are enough that this isn't going to make people sick. So my fingers are crossed. I don't think this is going to happen anytime in the near future, but I hope it does.
Yeah, you don't hire somebody today for something that's coming out in a couple of months. It's sure. a ways down the road. But Google isn't the only one. They're not the only ones working on this. NVIDIA recently announced their Cloud XR SDK, which is their ability to, I mean, here's what they say about it. They say Cloud XR is NVIDIA's solution for streaming virtual reality, augmented reality, and mixed reality content from any OpenVR XR application on a remote server, cloud data center, or edge. The Cloud XR streaming solution includes RTX hardware, virtual workstation, and cloud software development kit, which is, I mean, that's cool. And I love that we have multiple, the fact that we've got a bunch of different big companies working on this means that eventually it's going to happen. Like, it will happen. They're going to figure it out. And especially if anybody's going to figure it out before anybody else, it's Google, in my opinion, because I've played all of the, okay, I'm not going to say all because I'm sure there's some that I've missed, but I've played a bunch of the different cloud gaming platforms. Of all of them, Google feels the best and has improved the most since launch. So like Jem in chat did a super chat a few minutes ago. He said, I still remember when Bill played Stadia for the first time on Destiny 2. I was like the first streamer to stream Destiny or to stream on Stadia because I happened to be live and Google sent me a code right then. And it was like, it felt really good, but I could feel some latency. Mm-hmm. And over time, that latency, like it was enough where I would say, don't play on mouse and keyboard because it feels not very good. Play on controller. It feels great. Right. It feels great on controller. I've played a lot of games on mouse and keyboard on Google Stadia in the past, not like first person shooters, because I don't prefer to play first person shooters that way, but like, not Neverwinter, Baldur's Gate 3, like the mouse, I feel zero lag with the mouse, no latency at all with the mouse. I was just playing another game on Stadia recently, Humankind, with mouse and keyboard. I didn't feel any latency. Everything felt fine. Yep. They are getting better at the latency, and they keep coming up with better codecs, which require less powerful internet in order to utilize what we have now. I can fully see in, I'm going to say 5 years, but I think even that is a little, I think that's too long. I think it's going to be sooner than 5 years before we have a real virtual reality solution with the cloud as your beefy PC. And so, like, I don't know, maybe you'll buy like one of those stupid Google Cardboard headsets and put your phone in front of your face. I hope that's not the solution. I would prefer a dedicated headset, but I think that it's really cool, and I hope so, because virtual reality is really fun.
Yeah, it's the whole thing when you talk about virtual reality and a good experience, it's all about frame rate. So a lot of the games at launch on PlayStation VR were only 60 frames a second, sometimes dipping to like 45. When it got to 45, that was when that's when the bad feelings start bubbling up in my stomach. So if Google can do better, I know they said that their hardware is capable of 120 frames a second. They just don't support that right now with YouTube. But if they can get that support going, and they could even send you 90 frames a second with 90 times a second that it's accepting your head inputs from your headset, I think that would be absolutely fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to it. If this comes out, I love PSVR. I really, really love PlayStation VR, but that headset just isn't good in this day and age. PSVR 2 is probably going to be fantastic when that ships, but hopefully we'll have other options when that comes out. Maybe Google VR with a Google branded actual headset that connects directly to the cloud, just like your Wi-Fi controller. Like, how amazing would that be? But we'll have to see what happens when Google launches whatever they're going to launch. And maybe they're not going to launch anything, but asking for VR support or VR experience sure leads us down that path that they're working on something.
Yeah, absolutely. Virtual fingers crossed. All right, let's move on. And I want to talk about, I just wanted to let people know, there's a lot of people who play games on Stadia and they, like, they're not interested in 4K and they don't want to spend $10 a month for playing games that are not 4K because they don't have a 4K screen in front of them. And, you know, they don't want to take a chance on spending $10 a month and getting games that they aren't particularly interested in. So there's a lot of people out there who play on Stadia and just buy games that they want to buy, but don't subscribe to Stadia Pro. And Google knows this. So they are trying to entice some of those people back to Stadia Pro with this email that came out. It says, curious to see what you've been missing? Come back to Stadia Pro and score a Stadia Premier Edition, a Stadia controller, and a Chromecast Ultra on us. Shipping charges may apply. which is really cool. I mean, look, the Stadia controller is a fantastic controller. And as much as we crap on the Chromecast Ultra, it's a decent device.
It is.
Especially for $0, or in this case, euros, because it was a UK thing. Actually, it'd be pounds then, because it's UK. So I think that that's cool. And I immediately saw a bunch of people complaining. They're like, what about the loyal people who have been subscribed the whole time?
Yep.
They don't need to convince you. You've been convinced.
You got your games. That's what you got.
Yeah.
For paying your $10 a month for however many months. You got your games.
I'm not gonna turn down free stuff, but
yeah.
I also am not irritated that I've got left out of this because I stayed subscribed.
I missed out on pretty much every controller giveaway because I'm in Canada and they weren't doing it up here. And I still do a podcast about Google Stadia, so it didn't hurt my feelings that much that a loyal podcaster didn't get his free controller. So I think everybody will live if they didn't get one of these offers if you're not a pro member anymore. But this is a really good thing for Google to do. Keep enticing people back, saying, hey, you might have tried this before, but hey, why don't you try it now with the hardware that's going to make it a better experience? Perfect way to market your service.
I still say that what they ought to do is take the 4K out of Pro and just make Pro about the games. They would get so many more people playing because a lot of people are very wary of the subscription. Although at the same time, I don't understand that because people have been paying a subscription to play games online since the Xbox 360 PS3 era. Was it Xbox One era? Did the Xbox One had Xbox Live, didn't it?
It did. I don't remember if it was a 4K service back then. I don't remember. Well, I think it was.
Doesn't
it
matter. Free? A long time ago, people started paying a subscription to play games online. And on Stadia, you don't even have to pay for that. Like, you don't have to pay a subscription to play games online. You just pay for 4K and you pay for the free games each month. I still think that Google would be better off if they did that 4K for everybody and found another way to bring people in on Stadia Pro, like with, you know, more games or something like that. Or I just got an email the other day, and this kind of drives me bananas. I got an email because I'm a subscriber to YouTube Premium,
right,
which I get that because I don't want to watch ads on YouTube. It's irritating. So I subscribe to that, and I got an email, and they're like, hey, included with your subscription, and I scroll, nothing about Stadia. Like, you own the company. Just make a YouTube Premium subscription. Give me the ability to become a member on a YouTube content creator's channel, just one of them, for free each month. And combine your subscriptions so you all can also use Stadia Pro with that, or make it $5 a month more to get Stadia Pro. You're going to get a lot more people that way, I think.
Yeah, 100%. We've always wanted to see that. Like, from early on, before Stadia came out, we're like, yeah, you need to sell your your annual memberships. You need to be able to go to a 7-Eleven and see a Stadia card there so that you can sign up for Pro for a year. But yeah, you also need to do other stuff like that. 100%. Yeah, hopefully that changes as they start building out this service and changing Stadia Pro a little bit from what it was at launch. This new deal with the revenue split and trying to entice more developers to come into Pro. Maybe that's where they're targeting, and they're just waiting for they're waiting to have a lot of games in the in the kitty so that people will see it and say, what, I get 75 games if I sign up for this $10 a month? Okay, I'm gonna jump in.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in chat right now, but InLead is usually in our chat, and he keeps track of like how many games you can get, like if you subscribe today instead of like, because I, like Lloyd and I have been subscribed to Stadia Pro since the beginning. He's 32. Oh, is it 32?
32 games right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you subscribe right now, you get access to 32 games. They go into your library. You are, as long as you're subscribed, you always have access to those. They never get revoked. And over time, that number just keeps going up. And I've said this before, and people usually take issue with it. Whenever you compare Game Pass to Stadia Pro, I always feel like if I'm going to subscribe for a month, Game Pass is a better deal. If I'm going to subscribe for an extended period of time, I feel like Stadia Pro is a better deal. But that's just me.
Yeah, and for me, I'm all about 4K. I hate playing a game at 1080p when I can play it at 4K on my 4K monitor. Of course, on Stadia, a lot of games are only 1080p, so I'm playing them at 1080p anyway because that's the way the developer wanted the game to come out. But for me, the $10 a month was worth it just to get 4K for games that support it. But yeah, everybody has their own needs and wants and wishes, and they have to kind of make that decision themselves whether it's worth it. But I love that Stadia has changed kind of what Pro is and is bringing more games to the service, because I think that's going to entice a lot more people to stick around and become Pro members for an extended period of time.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take the last two stories and lightning round those because we're coming up on an hour already. Stadia now supports 11 more Samsung devices, including Galaxy Tab series. So if you have any of these devices, S21, 21 Plus, 21 Ultra, 20, 20 Ultra, Tab A, A7, S5e, S6, S7, or S7 Plus, they are now officially supported by Stadia. I felt like, I don't know, are these old phones?
Nope, S21 is fairly new. The Tab A, I believe, is old. I think that's like 4 or 5 years old, I think, something okay. like that. I'm not super familiar with Samsung's product offerings, but so it looks like they have some like older stuff, but then all the way up to kind of like the more recent phones.
Yeah, it's odd to me that they have to say that they are supporting, like, I can understand going back and saying, oh, the ridiculous name 32A7P2, that phone is now officially supported, but like the new ones, you would just assume that they would be automatically supported. So that was kind of weird to me. The last thing that I want to talk about before you get out of here is just to let everybody know a game that I have zero intention of playing, not because I think it's a bad game, but because I found it to be boring. And I know that people adore the series. Farming Simulator 22 is going to have crossplay throughout all platforms, which...
Yeah.
I always want to highlight a game when they do that, because that means that they care more about their users than, in my opinion, others that won't do that. So, like, you look at EA, who has endless amounts of money. They refuse to do that for, like, FIFA or Madden or whatever. And then we got, you know, Farming Simulator 22 is like, yeah, we'll do that. We'll put cross-platform on all platforms. I think awesome on them.
And they've even extended it a little bit more. So not only can you cross-play on PC, Mac, PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Stadia, when you are a console player, you can also rent servers. So they have a server rental for PC players where you could say, I want to use the Nitrado service, rent a server for my PC game. You can do that across all the platforms now because it is cross-platform. So cross-platform just makes so much sense because it not only does allow you to play with your friends wherever they are, but things like this, rented servers, standalone servers, private servers, they're easy to implement across the board if you just implement crossplay because you've implemented the way to get people on those servers right there. So yeah, it's a good thing to see. And I love seeing all these cross-play announcements that have been coming up recently.
Absolutely. All right. We got a bunch of super chats that came in during the show. We're going to pass an hour by the time I finish this sentence. So I am going to do these rather quickly. There we go. So the first one, where is the window? I can't find it. There we go. All right. Let's see. So Lee Clark sent in a $10 super chat. Thank you very much for supporting at that level. Lee Clark said, nice trim, Lloyd. Here's some funds to recoup from your barber. Well, here's the deal. He doesn't have to go to a barber anymore. He can do that himself. So maybe he should just take that to his barber and apologize.
I'll take that money and I'll buy more clipper oil, because man, my clipper's got a workout trying to hack down this forest to get to where I am right now.
There you go. Thank you very much, Lee. We appreciate it. Rafael Mendoza sent in a $11 super chat. They said, I'm new at the Stadia world, and I have a beginner question. Today's Stadia has a better performance than xCloud. Fact. Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. I'm sorry. I just had to pick on you a little bit. What if xCloud starts to have the same performance? What could happen with Stadia? I've said this 1,000 times, and Lloyd, you can hop in on this in just a second, but I do not disagree with you. Stadia, of all of the different platforms, Stadia is the one that performs the best, without a doubt. Xbox and other platforms will catch up to Stadia. At the same time, I feel like Stadia, as far as like their biggest limiting factor is their library, over time, they're going to catch up. So eventually, everything's going to balance out, in my opinion. And where you will play will wildly, I think that's really going to depend on who you want to play with. So it, like, yep. The more that we don't have crossplay, honestly, in the next 2 to 3 years, I feel like the idea of crossplay being not the normal is going to disappear. And so different people are just going to be playing on different servers and stuff, and it's not going to matter. It just won't matter. So what's going to happen with Stadia? Nothing. Google has endless amounts of money that they can keep throwing at this and until it succeeds. So yeah, after 2 years, there's still, I would say, an afterthought when it comes to the gaming industry. A majority of the gaming industry just doesn't even think about cloud gaming. But in 5 years, they're going to be dominant, and so will any other cloud platform, because you don't have to continually buy a new box to put under your TV. Lloyd?
Yeah, 100% agree with you. The cloud gaming scene isn't Highlander. There doesn't have to be one. You can have all of them. The best part of cloud gaming is you don't have to buy a $500 box that sits under your TV that becomes an investment point. Like, I'm saving my pennies. I'm finally buying a new console. I can only buy games for that console. With cloud gaming, you don't need that. So if Xbox has a sale on a game that you want and it's crossplay, well, you could buy it on Xbox. If the game is on sale, like Stadia is doing a crazy pro deal for Far Cry 6, and you can get it for $12, well, buy it on Stadia. If it's crossplay, it doesn't matter where you're playing, and that's really going to be the future. Stadia is the only service out there right now, really, that can do 4K 60, and that's important to a lot of people. It's not important to everybody, so maybe
low latency. Sorry, I'm just going to jump in there. And low latency. The other ones are a little more latent.
Exactly. So if that's not important to you, maybe Xbox cloud streaming is better for you because you like those games. Maybe Luna makes more sense to you because you like the channel motif. We're going to have options in the future, which is fantastic. Just like today, you have the option to get cable, or if you have the option to cut cable and not watch TV and just go on YouTube, or you have the option to buy or to get a subscription to Netflix and Hulu. And I'm on SwearNet because I like the Trailer Park Boys. That's $2 a month. That doesn't have to be added to Netflix or Hulu. I can just go to that service directly and get that stuff myself. That is what the future of cloud gaming is going to be. And it's going to be even better if Google really does whitelist their service, and you're going to have like the THQ streaming service and the, Raw Thrills streaming service, where they're going to have their own games living on their website, but it's using Stadia tech, and then you can get all those games on Stadia as well. So yeah, you don't really have to choose, and they're all really good. And I don't know, what is it? The rising tide lifts all boats. So yeah. If Xbox gets better, that stuff's going to make Stadia get better as well, because they're going to have to compete at that.
And not only that, but, you know, there's a lot of people who will only, like, right now, they're like, cloud gaming isn't ever going to work. And then when they try it, like, they're already subscribed to, like, a lot of those people are already subscribed to Game Pass. And yep. They might just try it because it's not going to cost them anything extra. And then when, I mean, that's not a good example, because right now, game, like, Xbox cloud gaming, for me, doesn't work very well. It's super laggy. I've heard other people say that it's fine. But let's imagine that Xbox gets better. And then those people, like, they try it out and they're like, oh, this works pretty well. Oh, I'm going to try this game over here. Like, Baldur's Gate 3 is a game that you can play on PC and Stadia. You can't play it anywhere else. Maybe they'll try it on Stadia because they don't have a beefy PC to play it on. I've been really into the CRPGs lately. All right. EM sent in a $10 super chat. I have zero clue what they're referring to. They said, any plans for a playthrough or walkthrough? Do you know what they're talking about?
We were talking about Darksiders 3 at that time. Oh. So I'm assuming that's what they meant. I asked for a clarification, didn't get it. So we don't really do a lot of walkthroughs on this channel. We do some playthroughs, but nobody really wants to see a playthrough series of a game that's been out for a number of years. Maybe a stream would be possible in the future.
At most, I would do a stream. I tend to look. I'm going to talk about me. Lloyd can do his own thing. I have no attention span. Finishing a game is a ridiculous commitment for me. And the idea of doing a full playthrough of a game and recording it, I've tried it. I've never done it. I've never finished a playthrough on YouTube because my attention span just falls apart and I don't feel the need to continue. And I know, like, people were like, Bill, you were playing through Octopath. What happened to that? I got bored. It was a fun game. I played as much as I wanted of it, and I put it down. So I will never commit to a full playthrough of a game, but I might do a stream.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Octopath for you became Unipath because you did the one story and that was it. That's kind of what I did for Octopath as well. I really do want to get to streaming more now that things are sort of settling down here and with COVID and work. I would really like to do, like, regular streams, but I can't see myself, like Bill, playing through a whole game on stream over a series of months. It just, yeah, it doesn't, it's not something that I find super enjoyable because I love to play all the latest and greatest. You know, I talked about all the latest and greatest when we were talking about what we've been playing. One of my joys of content creation and playing games is playing all the new games so I can talk about them or at least have an experience with them. So yeah, doing a full stream based on that thought is kind of tough. Unfortunately.
Absolutely. I mentioned this one earlier. They said, I still remember when Bill played Stadia for the first time on Destiny 2. That was a fun stream. It's still on our channel someplace. You guys can go find it.
One of the best memories of Google Stadia for me, because I was at a conference and I was super sad that I had to go for a conference on launch day. Yeah. I was going to be on the conference at launch day and I was there. I know Bill went live because we're texting back and forth. I'm sitting in one of my sessions for a conference and I get a message saying, hey, here's your Stadia Pro code. And I'm like, oh, what? I can get into Stadia right now? And I'm like, what about Bill? Oh, Bill's got a code. So I'm like, I'm texting Bill. I'm Discord messaging Bill. I'm Twitter messaging Bill. I'm sending like telegrams by horseback to Bill. And then finally he gets it, punches it in on stream and then streams it live. And I'm like, yay, I did my part, even though I'm sitting here in a course and I can't really do much of anything else in hotel Wi-Fi. But then I started playing Destiny 2 in hotel Wi-Fi and it worked through a VPN. And what an amazing memory from kind of the early days of Stadia. I'm really glad that all happened.
Absolutely. And people in chat are giving me a hard time because I never finished Resident Evil 7 with my wife. That's even more difficult because we have to find a time where my wife and I both feel like playing that game. When it's just a solo, like I can sit down and play a game and it doesn't really affect anybody. For me to continue with Resident Evil 7 at this point, I got to get her. So we decided not to do the stream anymore because it just like it was getting in the way of us actually enjoying the game, and then we got distracted and haven't we and I still haven't played Resident Evil 8 because I haven't finished Resident Evil 7. So I bought that game and it's been sitting there unplayed waiting for me because I still need to finish Resident Evil 7. So I'll talk to my wife about that, but don't expect me to, I probably won't do a video of it just because I just, this time of year is bananas. All right. Kodiak Moonwolf is mean and wants us to talk more. So he sent in a $7 super chat. He said, because I'm crazy and evil and want to make Bill and Lloyd talk more, the Nerd Nest community is awesome. Thank you for creating such a friendly place. Kodiak Moonwolf, for those of you that don't know, has been a part of this community since before it was, I mean, the Discord channel was called Nerd Nest for the a billion years. But before this channel even started, back when I was just streaming on Twitch, Kodiak was always there. He's a good friend, and he is our mega mod, and he plays Adren, the druid in our D&D group. So thank you very much, Kodiak, and absolutely hop on our community Discord. There's a bunch, there's over 1500 of super friendly people in there waiting to talk to you about video games, movies, TV, board games, tabletop stuff, anything. We're all in there. Yeah. Hop in nerdnest.tv/discord. Thanks, Kodiak.
Definitely. Thanks, Kodiak. Yeah. If you want to get fit, if you want to talk about world events, if you want to talk games, there's everything there. And a lot of really awesome people hanging out there every day.
That's right. And we're quick with the ban button. So it's a lot of friendly people, because the unfriendly people find out that they're not welcome pretty quickly. So hop on in, nerdnest.tv/discord. All right. That's it for this episode of Stadia Cast. So it went a little long because Lloyd and I were chatting so much. I think like his beard was weighing him down and wearing him out in the past. So like he has a little extra energy today because of his new fresh face.
My power comes right here, right on my cheeks. And it was covered for too much. It wasn't getting, I guess, solar energy or whatever. I don't know how it works. I'm not a body expert or anything. I think
not a body solar expert. Though.
I think solar, is that how it works?
Yeah, he's like a cat that lays in the sun.
100%. That's exactly what I am.
All right. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of Stadia Cast.
Take it easy, everybody.